Hello, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this message set about for the second Sunday after Pentecost based on Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 35 and following. Let us pray. O God of reconciliation and forgiveness, the saving work of Christ has made our peace with you. May the work grow toward its perfection in all we offer you this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage for today is from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages and taught in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So may the words of my lips and the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I love to watch a potter at work. From before the moment that the clay is thrown on the wheel, the potter has something in mind. A dream, you might say, of what the final product will look like is in the mind of the maker. I like to believe that God had a dream of what the final product of creation would look like before he said, "Let there be light." Just like in the case of a human potter, sometimes the dream is prevented from happening because of something in the clay. The clay formed into the first humans contained the freedom to choose, and that freedom was used in a way that temporarily prevented the dream of God from coming to fruition. Now, when this kind of thing happens to a human potter, adjustments are made. And this was the case with God. The dream was not abandoned. The clay was reworked. This reworking involved a covenant, a promise, to a man named Abram from a place called Ur, who later became known as Abraham. God entered into a covenant with this man and his wife as a way for the dream to be re-established. The scene we have before us today in the reading from Genesis is an important step in that process because at the heart of the covenant was the promise that Abraham was to become the father of a multitude, but even at the age of 100, he and Sarah had no children. The covenant promise did not look like it was going to be filled, and yet the God who made the covenant with Abraham proved his faithfulness to that covenant in a surprising way. It was so surprising that the reaction to the news was for Sarah to laugh at the prospect of her having a child. And while it may be lost in translation, they decided to name their child Laughter, for that is what the name Isaac means. Through this and many other equally startling events, the God of the covenant showed faithfulness to the project that was in God's mind at the beginning of creation. The potter was at work wrestling the clay into a form that would fulfill the purpose for which it was intended, and Abraham and Sarah were a significant part of that work. The barrier that was seen in Adam was beginning to be addressed. The work on this clay continued through the centuries with the voices of prophets, priests, and kings, both aiding and abetting the process. There were some glorious successes and some dismal failures. And through all that time, the dream of God was being followed and the faithfulness of God was demonstrated. God's covenant with Abraham and his descendants shaped the life of God's people in many and varied ways. Predictions about a coming Messiah were sprinkled throughout the writings and stories that were told by the prophets, and hints of what that time would be like were contained in the rituals and practices outlined in the Law of Moses. After many centuries, God's anointed Messiah came into the picture, and another important step toward God's dream was taken. When Jesus began his ministry on earth, he went about telling people about the kingdom of heaven and asking them to repent and believe. God's faithfulness to the covenant was still present, and those who heard Jesus speak were being invited to once again participate in that covenant through belief and repentance. In the course of time, a group of believers had been formed through Jesus' personal invitation as well as other means, and a moment came for another step in the process. In order for God's work to continue and for the shaping of the clay to be effective, another generation of leaders was to be trained and equipped to further the message of God. After a night of prayer, Jesus appointed 12 of the believers who had been following him as apostles, people sent out with a message, and gave them the authority they would need to make the communication as effective as it can be. The specific message they were told to share was, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." And the way they were to emphasize that announcement was to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. They were to do this without looking for any recompense, but to remember that you received without payment, give without payment. The symbolism of 12 apostles would not have been lost on the group of Jewish believers following Jesus, as the number matched the number of tribes in the nation of Israel. These 12 apostles were, in some way, to be linked to the journey of the people of God, while also helping this nation take their next step. The message was the same as the message that Jesus proclaimed, "The kingdom of heaven has come near, repent and believe." The signs of the arrival of that kingdom included the healing of sick people, the casting out of demons, the return to life of those who had died. The delivery of that message was to be done by authorized and equipped leaders in a particular way. A heart of gratitude was to be at the center of their attitude, realizing that it was grace that enabled all this to take place, and the faithfulness of God to the covenant that gave it power. This work has continued over the centuries as other apostles have been drawn out of the set of believers and sent out with this same message, and the effects have been seen in history. God is still at work shaping the clay and bringing about the dream that will culminate in God's people living a fully human life in the company of their Creator. The potter will see the final product that was in his mind, and those who repent and believe will be part of the company. So what is the potter doing in your lives, I wonder? Those of us who have repented and believed have not reached perfection, as we're still being shaped. Sometimes that shaping is comfortable, while other times it's difficult, but is always done from the heart of a loving Creator who wishes us to participate in the covenant made with Abraham so that God will be with God's people. All this is done because of God's grace and love. We are simply asked to participate. We may not have been endorsed or equipped as apostles, but we can be sure that we have been asked to share what we have with others. The proclamation of the message was done with both words and deeds by those first apostles, and the proclamation is still done that way today. A saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi goes something like, "Proclaim the message of God's good news to all creatures, and if necessary, use words." While I understand the sentiment behind the quote, it has sometimes been used by people to avoid speaking about the message to repent and believe. As I see it, there are three parts to the instruction given by Jesus to those first disciples that are meant to shape how we do things, even in the midst of this pandemic. First, the recognition that our position with God is a pure gift of grace. The covenant into which Abraham entered was because of God's initiative. Abraham had done nothing to earn this position except to believe God. As we follow in Abraham's footsteps and are adopted into his faith family, we are encouraged to have the same attitude. An attitude of gratitude, as someone has coined, is to shape our approach to the task of cooperating with God's work in our hearts. Secondly, the actions of compassion, which will see us helping those who are ill to find health and healing. Whether that is through our personal actions or through a referral process will depend on circumstances, but actions are important. Actions will announce the reality of the kingdom of heaven that we have experienced, and that will help communicate the truth of God's love. The third thing, the actual invitation that an action of faith and repentance is what enables a person to enter into the covenant with God. In these three ways, we participate in the work of God to restore all things in the Messiah. The work of the potter is still going on in the midst of this pandemic, and you and I can be used to promote and advance this work in the lives of those we know. I pray that God's Holy Spirit will continue to influence others through our words and actions, and to give us that attitude of gratitude that makes it all go forward. As we wait for the day when we will be able to gather, we give thanks for the ways in which God is present with us and through us. Amen.